Chapter 6 Combat Drop. The Titans had been brought up to combat-ready status well before the attack, the process beginning as soon as they arrived in system. People looked to the size, might, and weaponry of the god machines as the signifiers of their power, but a Titan's greatest weapon was the machine mind housed within, and the first part of Allegio's process of war was to awaken them. The longer the period of activation, the better. A long period enabled all the rituals to be undertaken correctly, with the approved amounts of sacred oils, incense, and other libations needed to ensure good function. The crews were barred from the ceremonies. While the priests of the cult Tigris undertook their duties, Esher Animohana fretted outside the dropship. Always she went to the loading bay portal set into the vast drop gates of the ships. It was the closest she could get during the ceremony. She was never alone. Durana Fal usually arrived before she did. Toza Mindef was another regular. Some of the Moderati were usually present. The rest showed up as they wished. The thought of the machines coming to consciousness without being connected to them filled the crews with a sense of medical violation, as if it were their bodies that were being poked and prodded during the priest's strange rituals. Because of the same feelings, some preferred to stay away. The divide between human operator and metal giant was small, and grew smaller with every joining. The sense of disconnection out of battle was profoundly uncomfortable for some, and that also grew with every separation. The Imperial hunters did not favour immersion tanks for their princeps unless absolutely necessary. Their way of coping with machine dissociation was to immerse themselves in the physical whenever out of the manifold. While on planet, they hunted according to the habits of their ancestors. Aboard ship, they sparred or undertook military training. They held modest recreations of Procon's lordly feasts. They remembered the ways of their kind. Distraction kept them sane between battles. None of it was enough when the machines began to wake. The moment the first rites of activation were performed, Esher Animohana felt Domine Ex Venari calling to her. Shooting pains afflicted her extremities. Her palms were constantly damp. She could not sit still. A mix of maternal yearning and narcotic withdrawal ran electric pains through her nervous system. Each of the human components of the god machines had to deal with these feelings in their own way. They supported one another, and that helped. But the help only went so far. Everyone suffered according to their own habit. After awakening, the machines were tested for mental soundness by the Vox Omni Machina. The priests kept their secrets close, but Esher knew the Vox Omni Machina linked with his charges directly, and that added an outraged sense of jealousy to the turbulence in her soul. The princeps were allowed in to see their machines during the second phase, but not to interface. It was dangerous to rouse the spirits of the war gods without good reason. They were swords that could not be sheathed until blooded. During this period of maintenance, Esher stalked the hangar deck, nervous energy forcing her to take step after step until she exhausted herself. The Titans' bodies were infested with probes. Neocora crawled all over their innards. Prometheus orchestrated 1,000 petty indignities. Servitors trudged around every part of the interior, doggedly swapping out damaged or worn components. She had become adept at not getting in the way. The Dei mechanics and their crews worked around her and the others, though she knew her presence was barely tolerated. It was a time of showers of sparks and whining power tools, of grumbling engines and hissing plasma torches, while hammers rang and priests chanted, and the servitor choirs sang the same hymns on endless loop. The dropship hangar at that time smelled of oil and hot metal, sweat, paint, and polish. There were support machines everywhere, crates, barrels, and spillages of sacred unguent. Plastic sheets hung over areas of maintenance. Scaffolds encased the warhound Oz Ribrum to the waist to allow the replacement of a malfunctioning hip gyro. half the priests were as busy chanting as the rest were with their tools and data links. She hated this time. The link with a Titan was familial. While Domine Ex Venari was helpless, it felt like her child, ill in the hospital. She was the Titan. It was her. It was her father, she its mother. There was no division in these emotions. They made a complex set of chains, binding her to her machine in ways unfathomable to those outside the Collegia Titanica. After maintenance, the Titan's loadouts were changed for the coming battle according to the wishes of the Princeps, under guidance from the Princeps Majoris and Legio Strategos. Their reactors were spooled up from maintenance power to pre-combat draw. The crews went aboard themselves at this point to run their own tests and calibrations, and limited mind impulse linkage was permitted under the eyes of the ever-present tech priests. The joining was insufficient to blunt the crew's cravings. The engine's beings were not fully raised to wakefulness, and the mind blend was deadened by intervening monitoring machinery. If anything, the fleeting contact made Escher's sense of isolation worse. Her feeling of panic increased. Only 24 hours before the final approach to Theta Garmin 5 were the final services held for the machine spirits, the Titans thoroughly blessed and their honour banners attached. The human contingent of the Legio was present completely for the rites, moving in solemn procession from dropship to dropship aboard the Tantamon, then to the Artemisia, and at last to the smaller conveyors and their stacked ranks of coffin ships, where the assembled officers and priests passed through fragile plastic corridors linking the smaller dropships to one another. Other Legios possessed conveyors that combined the advantages of coffin drop pod and large hangars. The Tigrean priesthood did not favour them. After the blessings, the crews waited in arming rooms close by the boarding jetties to their Titans. And waited. And waited. Their combat uniforms were close-fitting environment suits of void-resistant grade, topped with integrated shoulder, chest and back armour, to which were locked large square helms. Armour glass faceplates allowed them to look out. They were claustrophobic, heavy items, where the hiss-click of oxygen provision, bleeps of machinery assuring continuous air supply, and the thunder of one's own breathing shut out most of the sound from outside. At any other time, Escher would have found the sense of isolation soothing. As she waited for battle, she felt trapped by her need to link with Domine Ex Venari. Each hissing burst of the air unit spiked the pains running up and down her arms and legs. Escher forced herself to look outwards, past her suit visor and the presence of the six women around her, out into a far wider world, as she would when linked. By comparison to those two long-delayed moments of union, she was limited, but not blind. The vibrations of the ship's metal told her much. Through the pain singing in her skin, she felt the lifters propel House Procon Vi to their defensive positions. She felt the void shields collapse and the oversized clunks and bangs as their capacitors were swapped. The fire of point defense weapons added a delicate trill to the punch of big guns, shaking the fabric of the craft. Hard hits sent the predictable pulse of the ship's reactors into arrhythmia. The chaotic vibrational patterns of surface combat came soon after.
"They have started without us," said Fenina Boll,
one of Escher's moderati bellatus. She craned her neck as much as she was able to look above, though there was nothing to see but the ceiling, and the fight was on both ventral and dorsal spines of the ship.
"You'll get your turn,"
said Udani Jehan, Escher's second bellatus. She was like her blood sister Johanni in lots of ways, though more inclined to tension. Whether this was because of her youth, or her character was not yet clear to Escher, she was relatively new to the crew. Nefernen, the third weapons operator, sniggered nervously.
"Be quiet! The weight is bad enough, and you're making it worse."
The command of Yehayaha, Moderati Primus, silenced them. The weapons Moderati studied the floor. No one would go against the Primus's word. Asher relied on her to keep the others in line. The remaining members of her crew were Mafani Ohana, Oratorius, whose role as communications officer was vital to the far-ranging Imperial hunters, and Jafenia Jehan, who fell between her siblings Jehani and Odani in years, but whose preternatural abilities in coaxing the Titan to move suited her well to the role as Esher's steersman. Neither of these two spoke. Reavers in other legios might take a further two moderati, but the Legio Solaria were mistresses of the hunt, and the Princeps had no need of additional crew in either the navigatorial or sensorium positions. By their ethos, a huntress should be a master pathfinder and reader of spore. Any Princeps who required help in these areas was not worthy of the name. Esher's legs ached savagely. She forced herself not to jiggle them. Only the ready klaxon saved her from an undignified bout of fidgeting. It was not until the first shots trembled the exposed hull of the Tantamon, and the roaring of the ship's reactor rushed cataract-loud down every access way, that the order was given for Esher Arne Mohana and her maniple to join with their titans. Lumens turned from yellow to green. An urgent toxin sang a call to arms. "Move!" shouted Yeha, on her feet before all the others. Esher was next, eyes on the airlock door. She slammed her palm onto the activation plate, the door spirit's announcement of her name a barely heard string of nonsense sounds. Blood roared in her ears. At last, she thought, at last! The airlock outer door admitted them all and slammed closed. Air whomped out, and the inner door whisked itself away. A third door, this one the dull orange of the dropship exterior, opened a microsecond after. They passed from the Tantamon into the maniple dropship, running along the short pier leading to the rear door between the massive heat exchangers mounted on the Titan's back. The hangar was already depressurized. A passionless machine counted down the seconds to combat drop over their vox speeds as they ran within the Reaver. They had to duck through the low door into the machine. The engine had no airlock, and the whole machine began to repressurize with atmospheric mix as soon as they were all in, and crossing the cramped atrium to the armored head. Servitors stared sightlessly at them from their alcoves. The small door leading to the command deck slid aside. Jefanir Jehan, Yeha Yeha, Mefani Ohana, and finally Esher Ani Mohana clambered into the tight space, long practice preventing them cracking their large helms against the interior. Fenina Bol, Nefanen, and Odani Jehan waited for Esher to pass into the head before splitting left and right to pass through the doors leading to the gunnery chambers set within the shoulders. Dim light filtered through the tiny window set about the Reaver's auger eyes. The head was broad, but sloped down sharply to the front, and much of its muzzle was taken up by the socket points for the massive armoured cables that curled away and back from the machine's face, like extravagant moustaches. They could see very little out of the windows. A large vidscreen display gave a view outside, but they would not need that once they were linked to the manifold. They were all talking, all at once, flicking switches and punching buttons as they slid into their seats. Esher took to the cracked leather of her command throne, with the voice of her crew and her maniple yammering at her. They were all excited, eager to be off on the hunt. The term command throne was overblown. The seat was little more than a pilot's couch, and its meagre cushioning was uncomfortably divided by a line of metal housing the interface spikes for the MIU. Even in a machine the size of Domine Ex Venari, there was barely room for the four women of the command team. It was hot and cramped. In seconds, none of that would matter.
"Good afternoon, Princeps."
Magos de Mechanic Omega-6's cheerful tones spoke into her vox. He was the only full sentient aboard not wired into the manifold, and so always spoke with her this way. His station was on the reactor deck, and its rising output jagged his words with static.
"I have my orchestra ready to play a fine symphony to greet the rising of the sun."
"Greetings, Magos. You have a bizarre love of imagery for a tech priest."
"Oh, you'd be disappointed if it were otherwise."
"That is so. Bring the reactor up to 2/3 power. Prepare for combat level output."
"All indicators are within green parameters. I shall pray it remains so.
Do. This looks like a hard fight.
Hard fights mean hard use of my reactor.
You know so, she said.
She put a genuine grin into the words. She smiled so rarely now, it was pleasant to remember how. She locked her hands and feet into the control gloves and stirrups, calming her breathing, closing her eyes, and with a sense of delicious anticipation said,
Interface.
The stab of the neural spikes into the sockets set in her skull was unbelievably painful. It was worth it every time. Elated calm took hold of the crew. Their horizons expanded beyond the realm of flesh as their minds raced out through the MIU to mesh with piston and gun. To outsiders, the members of the Collegia Titanica appeared very different to their tech priest masters. They did not pursue augmentation so ruthlessly as the Martian priesthood, taking bionics only to continue service after injury or to better interface with their machines. They did not deny their humanity. This, along with their uniforms and manners, made them seem more imperial than Mechanicum, like naval or army officers. To other men and women, they were fellow humans, where the tech priests were frightful cyborgs. The Titan crews were approachable, although they piloted the most awesome instruments of war to tread soil in mankind's name. Not like the priests. Their obsessive need to grub up the meat of their bodies and re-thread themselves with wire seemed a most terrible pathology. These outsiders were wrong. The Titan Legio were as devoted to the machine cult as the most flesh-hating Magos. They did not replace blood with oil, but this was simply because they did not need to. They were closer to their god than any other worshipper of the Omnissiah could ever be. In battle, they were its avatars, the bellicose saints and angels of the three who was one, and the pains they underwent to achieve such holy transformation, going back and forth between immortal, metal might and transient organic being, taught them the value of both states. One could be man or machine, but not both at once. They alone achieved the heavenly union of humanity's sacred form with the body of the machine god incarnate, and found a measure of equilibrium there. Suffering was the border between the MIU manifold and the living world. By crossing it, they purified their souls, so that even in their flesh form, they became the apostles of the Omnissiah himself. So the Magos Principia Militaris, the Order's Bishop Prince, said in his sermons. For herself, Escher did not believe a word of it. All she recognized from his words was the bliss of neuronic union, the pain of divorce from the mechanism, and the power the change gave her. Frustration left the crew. While battle reigned in the void, calm held sway in the hangar. Second Maniple joined with their machines at a measured pace. Theoretically, the Titan should be ready for war as soon as the linkages were made, but after so long deactivated, it was not. Domine ex Venari's machine soul was sluggish, with long inaction, and Escher struggled to rouse it.
Come on, Domine, Escher whispered to herself.
The minds of her moderati brushed against her psyche. In return, her sense of self spread outwards through them. The mind link was not and could never be entire, but enough of themselves entered each other that sometimes it was hard to tell who pulled the trigger or who saw the target first. The operation of the Titan depended on this human network. Moderati minds supported her, a pyramid of human souls with her at the apex, helping her bear the burden of cowing the indomitable soul of so mighty a war machine. The Princeps' role was hardest of them all. She could not lose herself in the Titan as the Moderati could. At one and the same time, she must maintain close links with her crew while retaining enough of herself to order and direct them. She had, in short, to be in two places at once. Escher was very good at that. Although the link was still weak, already she experienced the doubling of identity granted by the manifold, as she saw from the Reaver's auspexes as well as her own eyes. On the one hand, she looked through the murky oculus at the hangar, a woman inside a tower peering through a small window. On the other, she stared imperiously down from 25 meters high, through lenses of charged crystal, at the ant-like humans scurrying around her feet. They meant nothing. Her peers were other giants. There was a second like herself, a crouched monster, whose back and shoulder joints were covered over by a mottled white and green armored carapace, from under which projected a wide, coleopteran head. Besides this were four other monsters, smaller but still titanic, with dark red heads cast in the likenesses of snarling hounds, perpetually bent double as if casting for a scent. Her pack. Escher was Domine ex Venari, and it was her. A giant of legend, wrought of adamantium, ceramite, plasteel, glassite, and exotic alloys, brought to life by the wonders of a captive star and the power of the motive force. Only not entirely. Not yet. She still felt herself as a distinct being within the giant's head, not limited by her mortal state any longer, but not free of it either. This overlap was uncomfortable. It was not her fault. The final component in the machine was not yet engaged. Domine ex Venari's soul would not be woken. She chided Domine gently as it turned over at the touch of its mistress's mind, a dog by the fire, only half willing to leave for the reign of the forest and the joy of the kill. The drop count was rattling down at too fast a pace. Escher kept half an eye on the battle data transferred via the Legio Infospheric Link to the Titan manifold. The machine's cogitators were meshing with her brain, lending her their speed. She calculated faster than any data savant ever could. Her god gave her abilities beyond mere destruction. His gifts were many. Iridium was rapidly nearing. Still, Domine ex Venari sulked at her. It had waited too long since first awakening. It was angry. Escher had no time for this. All crews report in status.
Velox Canis standing by, reported Stranti Daha.
Her words had an eager, aggressive edge to them. She yearned to run and fight.
Curse of Ferru, anticipating full readiness in 20 seconds,
relayed Jahani Jahan.
Brokal Videns is ready to hunt, said Toza Mindev. All praise to the machine god.
Abhani Lusmahana reported similarly from the Osri Brum.
All praise. We're ready to walk.
Abhani Lus's voice raised conflicting emotions in Escher, as it always did. She put aside her feelings. Her daughter was a good princeps.
Second maniple respectfully requesting status of attached fourth maniple engine,
Escher voxed to Durana Fal.
We are ready,
Fal said. The dreamlike savagery in her voice suggested she had already achieved union with her Reaver Titan, Steel Huntress.
We walk to your command.
Time to drop 2 minutes, whispered the officious voice of the ship.
Escher,
said Yaha aloud. They had known each other so long and so intimately, the use of anything other than their first names during Manifold Link would have been discourteous.
The link is failing,
said Yaha.
We're losing bond coherency.
Escher felt it. Power was slipping from her grasp. She forced her mental grip tighter, and Domine ex Venari bridled at her. The reactor whined in resistance.
Domine has slept too long, and she is angry at us for making her wait for war, said Escher. But she will rise to my command.
She pushed herself against the machine's resistance, down towards its blazing heart.
Domine ex Venari,
Escher voiced in her mind and aloud at the same time.
Awake! Your hounds are ready. The hunt awaits.
The Titan had no voice of its own, but it could make itself understood.
No, it thought felt.
Escher constructed a mental image within the manifold. She saw herself floating in the air over a lake of fire, the dress and unbound hair of her avatar whipped about in the heat. The Titan was too powerful to be represented by a human form. It was the lake of fire. She stared at a vortex of molten iron turning below her feet. The heat of Domine ex Venari's being was tremendous, but fearlessly she looked into the axis of the vortex, and through it into the eye of the machine god himself.
I command you, Great One, awake! War comes! War is here!
Domine ex Venari's soul stirred. She felt it within her head. Her hands twitched involuntarily in the emergency manual handles. In her mind, she saw Domine's waking state as an increase of speed to the vortex's rotation. The Titan was rousing. Not yet awake, but Escher had saved the best for last.
The old foe is near. Legio Vulpa walks.
A bellow of rage issued from the Titan's soul, represented as a pillar of fire that jetted from the vortex. Escher experienced a sensation of something huge moving beneath her skin, turning over within her bones like an earthquake, or water pushed up by a rising behemoth, if those feelings could be internalized within a human body. The pressure grew, pushing the mentally constructed image of herself upwards. The lake of fire rose quicker than she. Its fire licked at her feet and devoured her. She was laughing as her mind was subsumed into the Titan's. Escher snapped back into her body. The power of the machine god slammed into her. She arched her back and cried out with pleasure that edged into pain. Notification chimes sang joyfully all over the cockpit.
Domine has woken!
Shouted Mephani Ohana, possessed by the machine's eagerness to fight.
We're ready! A little more respect. Use the correct cant, said someone.
The tone was snappy, like Yeha, but it didn't sound like her, and the words were slurred. Escher, in her new state of ecstasy, could not tell who had spoken. It could have been several of her crew speaking as one. The drifting link surged into coherency, bringing them all into union. Domine ex Venari shuddered. Pistons extended in joints. Fiber muscles contracted under armored plates. Gyroscopes spun faster and faster. Pipes tautened with pressurized fluid. The machine shifted in its birth clamps, standing tall, setting its shoulders. Lights came on all over its body. Its defense las cannons and heavy bolters stood erect in their cupolas, the subsidiary machine spirits controlling them suddenly, murderously alert, panning back and forth for minor threats to neutralize. Escher's back relaxed. She sank into her chair with a groan. Domine ex Venari shared her pleasure. Metal squealed as the Titan shifted in the restraints of its maintenance cradle.
Reactor at 100% efficiency, voxed Omega-6. All systems are running to the perfect fulfillment of sacred equations. All praise the machine god. All praise his omnisire who walks among us. All praise the motive force which moveth all things.
1 minute to combat drop, said the ship's voice.
Only a minute had passed while she summoned the spirit of the god engine. Hours had been compressed into those 60 short seconds. Escher looked through her own eyes and the Titan's eyes at one and the same time, and nothing felt amiss. A heart beat within her that was many times larger than her body, and hot as the core of a sun. She was in full union with her machine. Alarms howled in the Titan. The ground crews were scurrying for the exits. Lights flashed. There was no air in the hangar, and the tiny people moved about in silence. By the time the enemy burned their way through the hull, Escher was no longer quite herself. A fall of molten metal pattered down from the dropship ceiling, followed by a streak of colour. Domine ex Venari's eyes caught the falling object, slowed it to visibility for Escher to see. A Mechanicum Onniscidari drop tank, its legs wrapped around itself for impact protection, bounced onto the floor, rolled to a stop and uncurled. Three more followed. They raised gun rigs like scorpions raising their tails. Mandible doors splayed wide, disgorging racks, from which a dozen thalaxi dropped like seeds ejected from a pod. They too unfolded with mechanical precision and marched towards Steel Huntress.
I'll take care of them,
Vox Jehani Jehan matter-of-factly. Her Titan, Cursor Pharaoh, was moving dangerously in its drop-lock, straining to be off the leash.
Negative, leave them,
Escher voxed back. Docking clamps were disengaging all around the dropship, the force of the decoupling enough to be felt through the plasteel of the ship.
Do not engage. 20 seconds to drop.
She should not have to say that to Jehani. The Titans could not fight in the hangar. Her second was letting herself be dragged under by her machine's anger. A writhing beam of blue and white energy licked out from the drop tank, slashing a black line over Steel Huntress's livery. The void shields were inoperative, the Titans bound. But they were not powerless. The point defense guns mounted around their bodies stabbed beams at the Thalaxi, skewering them as neatly as a Magos biologist would pin an example of some alien insect to a board. Las cannons were not an anti-infantry weapon, but when fired by the dozen, they did a passable job. Domine ex Venari took part in this clinical slaughter. Escher experienced the Titan's annoyance. She shared its desire to stamp forward and crush the invaders flat, to erase them from existence with its primary weapons and move out to fight a worthy foe. Escher pushed back.
No, not now. You know, not now.
Drop launch, whispered the ship's voice.
There was a lurch. The Titans banged against their restraints. The Thalaxi staggered. The firing of the massive engines on the underside shook the craft. Even against so feeble a gravity well as generated by the Theta Garmin 5 orbitals, landing so much mass was complex and required enormous expenditure of energy. Doors opened all along the dropship. Cyborg troops poured from the barracks built into the hull where they slept like bees in cells. The light of these interstitial spaces flickered rapidly as the troops were awakened by massive bursts of combat stims and deployed directly into battle from suspension pods, which dropped down from storage to doors in the walls. The first dozen were cut down, but the ship carried 1,000 and they poured in. A battle unfolded about the Titan's feet. Plasma trails crisscrossed the floor as the Thalaxi's attentions were diverted from their targets. The fight was of no more interest to Escher than the wars of beetles, though Domine ex Venari was irritated by them.
Let the Auxilia take care of them, Escher said,
as much for Domine ex Venari's benefit as for her maniples princeps.
Prepare for combat.
The dropship angled slightly. It shook to the pounding of unseen guns. Domine ex Venari's center of gravity shifted as the ship took a long, wide curve towards its landing zone. There was a steep descent. Titan battle plates squealed against padded clamps. The great machine shook, blurring both sets of Escher's perceptions. A rumbling made itself heard through the fabric of the craft. The ship pitched. A great hole blew through the wall, sending debris cutting through the tiny combatants still warring around Oz Rubrum and Cursor Ferro. Luckily, neither Titan was hit. Through the breach, the dazzling pyrotechnics of Void War blazed. The ship shook with conflicting gravitic forces, and Escher's teeth rattled, but she was calm. This was a long way from the worst drop she had experienced. And then it was over. An impact jarred everyone aboard. The Titans sank to their knees, and the cyborg combatants were sent sprawling. The doors on the prow and aft of the dropship began to open on vast curved hinges. The maniple had to move quickly. They were vulnerable now to counterattack. Titans died in their landing craft, but the doors moved so slowly. The doors finished their painful opening. Restraints fell away from arms, legs, and torsos. Cable linkages dropped. Outside, a fearsome bombardment rained down from the Legio fleet, keeping whatever enemy was out there back from the landing zone.
Legio first, Escher said. Legio Solaria walks.
The maniple exited the craft, kicking their way through the insignificant melee taking place on the deck. The warhounds ran free. Oz Rubrum, Cursor Ferro, Procol Videns, and Velox Canis last. They filed out, already spreading into a hunting pattern, gathering speed, the low gravity exaggerating each pace into a bounding stride. Escher needed no words to set her Titan going. She simply walked. She felt Jeffanir Jehan's psyche below hers like a ledge on a rock face, holding her up as she climbed for the heights of victory. The sensation was fleeting. She was Domine ex Venari. Jeffanir Jehan was simply another part of her. Rockets already streaking from the apocalypse launcher set upon her carapace, Domine ex Venari marched to war with Steel Huntress at her side.